These, of course, are the Christmas scriptures, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived, who was called barren, and for God, with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word." And the angels departed from her. And then, of course, continuing in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph asked her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with a child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Hope in Jesus. Say with me the word hope. Hope. Even sounds good, doesn't it? Feels good to say it. Look at each other and say, hope. Now don't look at each other and say you're hopeless. Say hope. Christmas hope. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. One of the key ingredients for life for which people look and desperately try to find really is hope. Now for thousands of years, the Jewish nation, if we want to go back into a little bit of history, the Jewish nation had been the chosen people. God had sent prophets after prophets after prophets to them to try to keep his people walking right with him. But as people are wont to do, sometimes we don't always walk right with God, do we? You can admit it, it's all right. Sometimes we try to get God to do what we want instead of us doing what he wants. Isn't that true? Oh, you're very quiet tonight. You know, I remember growing up in a home, I was not a perfect kid. Maybe you all are so sanctified you're perfect kids, but I was not a perfect kid. I remember my parents saying things like, "Don't do that! Don't do that! No, don't do that!" And you know, if I insisted on doing it, eventually the phrase that my parents would say comes somewhat like a phrase you've heard, "If you do that, you're going to have problems." And I'd do it. And guess what? I had problems. Then, of course, I was angry at anybody who had problems with me. It's all their fault, right? I didn't do anything wrong. But that's the way we are sometimes with God. And you take a look at the Old Testament, and you find that for generation after generation, God tried to reach his people. He tried to get them to get on board and stay on board with what he wanted them to do. But so often, men and women go their own way. So what happens is, finally, God said, fine. Have it your way. Love you. See you later. And between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the intertestamental time, there's a period of 400 years where it was silent. There were no more prophets coming to Israel. Actually, to me, that should be called a terrifyingly silent time. How many in this room want to hear the voice of God? I do. I don't want the voice of God to go quiet on me. Lord, where'd you go? Please keep talking. But then there came a time, after 400 years of silence, God couldn't keep quiet anymore. He couldn't keep a good man down. He had something he wanted to share. There had been messianic prophecies all through the Old Testament. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who will deliver your people, these people from their sins, who will give you hope and life, forgiveness, strength and blessing, the one who will be the answer for your life. He's coming. And finally, after 400 years of silence, God split the darkness with a message of hope. My baby's born! Now, dads, how many are dads in this room? Okay? Moms, we already know you're full of pride at your kids, but dads, were you ever proud of your baby that was born? Did you ever give anything away? We won't talk about cigars here tonight. Okay? But give something away. Hey, that's my kid! Yeah, I know there might be 50 kids in there, but you should be able to pick mine out. He's the most sterling example of beauty you've ever seen. But God's a father, and God said, my son is born. And he couldn't keep it quiet after 400 years of silence. Listen to what the scripture says. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth under Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because, you can all finish the next phrase with me, there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Anybody in this room, do you think you'd be afraid? All of a sudden that happened? Sure. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Don't tell me God doesn't know how to party. Glory to God in the highest. All of a sudden, a choir shows up from nowhere. You ever see those old musicals on television, and they're sitting in a restaurant, all of a sudden the guy begins to sing, and there's an orchestra that shows up from nowhere. How'd they ever get that orchestra, you know? But God knows how to do it, man. Out comes his wife, the angel shows up. Glory to God and peace, and an angel, and choirs start singing. You know, this is better than anything Steven Spielberg could ever produce. Why? Because he's got a message of hope. In the form of a baby, his own son, born to give us new life. Glory to God in the highest. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Folks, that is good news. After 400 years of silence and nobody heard anything from God, God all of a sudden splits the heavens, speaks to some simple shepherds, he births a baby son, and he knows he's got life. The Messiah has come to earth. Good news for modern man. There are 3 points, very simple points I want to make from Scripture tonight. Hopefully give you something to hang your hat on that you'll remember. Number one, when it's tough, God is here. Say that phrase with me, please. When it's tough, God is here. Can you imagine the hard work it must have taken to get Mary and Joseph on donkey back with a 9-month pregnant woman to the city of their heritage? Can you imagine the frustration over the hot and dusty days, the cold nights on burrow back with a woman who's 9 months pregnant? Now, nowadays, ladies, the doctors won't even let you travel in that month, right? Much less on burrow back, and they weren't the best roads, and they weren't a smooth Lincoln Navigator type of suspension. We're talking about a bumpy path here. Hard work to get these people where they belonged. Can you imagine? You know, you've seen the movies about the Jewish people and the Jewish mothers, and if you cross them, the Jewish complaint, if you're Jewish descent here tonight, I'm not trying to be offensive, but you've all seen them, haven't you? Can you imagine the Jewish complaint? The government is telling us we got to go home to our city of heritage because we got some stupid census to do? Sounds like complaints nowadays against our government, doesn't it? But can you imagine the complaining? The difficulty, the hard work it took. And then on top of that, there was no room for them to birth this little baby. No place to wash their hands and feet. No place for a woman who was very, very pregnant and ready to give birth. But through it all, Joseph and Mary knew that when it was tough, God was there. Jesus was born. And instead of the romantic ideal we have of the wooden manger and the warm, comfortable little swaddling clothes, please understand he was in a dirty, stinky manger with wonderful animals, but, you know, animals are not the most polite in people's presence. Okay, I won't draw that conclusion for you, but, you know, they laid this baby in a stone trough, a watering trough. There's a lot of rock in Israel. There's not a lot of wood. It's a romantic idea we had, but through it all, God was there. The humiliation, but God was there. The tough times, but God was there. And Jesus says to you tonight, he's here for you in the midst of your tough time as well. Doesn't matter if you're in school, doesn't matter if you're retired, Jesus Christ knows exactly who you are and what you're going through. When it's tough, God is there. Number two, through the fear, God is here. Number one, though it's tough, God is here. Number two, through the fear, God is here. God can't hold back any longer. But God, this is a dumb time for you to come. Don't you know the Romans have overrun us? We're a defeated people. It doesn't make sense to send a baby. What good's a baby going to do? And God says, hang on, just give me a few years. Ever want God to answer instantly and it feels like he's asking you to hang on and wait a few years? Oh, could you be a little quicker, please? But God says when it's darkest, that's when the light shines brightest. Always remember, through the fear, God is here. Do you understand Mary was probably a young lady of maybe 12 to 14 years old? She had to go through all of the shame of being found pregnant before she was married. And Joseph wanted to put her away and was warned by an angel, we heard in the scriptures, not to do so. Can you imagine what it took to face the shame in that culture? It was a tough time. It was a fearful time. But God was there. We've got shepherds loving their flocks and caring for their flocks. And we've got a message over and over again from an angel saying, don't be afraid. Good news is here. I'm here. God is here on the scene. I love it. God told the shepherds, and though there may have been some others who weren't too excited about God and what he was doing, the shepherds were really excited. They, you know, it might have been 3 o'clock in the morning. Who knows what time it was? But the cool thing is, they hear from God. Remember what they did? Let's go find him. And they press right out to go find this little baby born. So through the fear, God is here. No matter what you're going through, if there are things that make you afraid, God is here for you. And number 3, when the future is unclear, God is here. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east. We've come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time that star had appeared." And you know the rest of the story. Herod said, "I want you to come back to me. Let me know where this child is so I can come and worship him." But the Lord spoke to these whom the Bible calls magi. They found the baby, not a baby any longer. They found the young child by this time, actually. And he was with his mother and his father, and they brought the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Regardless of the threat, regardless of the uncertain future, they came and worshiped and gave their gifts. Joseph and Mary knew there was a future that might be a tough situation. It was uncertain for them. In fact, they had to flee from Israel, and they had to go into Egypt for a little while. A ruler wanted to kill this baby boy, and God, nevertheless, was still with them the entire time. You know, we may not always know the future, but we know the one who has the future in his hands, don't we? Can you say amen? When the future is unclear, remember, God is here. We're talking about Christmas hope tonight. I want to finish with a little story of hope and what God can do through people who believe in him and who want to give hope away to other people. There was a little girl who went to her bedroom. She pulled a glass jelly jar from its hiding place in the closet. She poured the change out on the floor. She carefully counted it up. And what she had was $1.11. She knew she had to count and recount because what she needed was an exact price. And she could make no mistake. She placed the coins carefully back in her jar and twisted on the cap. Then she slipped out the back door. She made her way down 6 blocks away to Rexall's drugstore. Anybody remember Rexall's drugstore? Oh. You know, the big Indian chief sign in the door. She went into the store, and she stood, and she waited at the pharmacy desk. The pharmacy was talking to a distinct-looking gentleman, and she could not get the pharmacist's attention. She waited. Then she tried to make a real disgusting scuffling noise and other kinds of noise to get the man's attention. She could not get the pharmacist's attention. She finally started banging on the counter. And she took her quarter out, one of her quarters, and she banged on the counter with it. She finally got the pharmacist's attention. "And what do you want?" the pharmacist asked this little girl in an annoyed tone of voice. "I'm talking to my brother from Chicago, can't you see? And I haven't seen him for a long time. So, little girl, unless what you have is truly important, I have a very important conversation to have. What do you want?" The little girl looked at him and said, "I want to talk to you about my brother." Tears were being held back in her eyes for the moment. She said, "He's sick. And he's really, really sick. And what I've come to do is buy a miracle." Well, of course, the pharmacist, by this time, felt a little badly about how he treated the little girl. And he said, I beg your pardon. I don't quite understand. The little girl continued, My brother's name is Andrew, and he has something growing inside of his head, and Daddy says only a miracle can save him now. Sir, how much does a miracle cost? The pharmacist softened in tone, but his answer was as such. We don't sell miracles here, little girl. I'm sorry. I can't help you. She pled with him. Listen, I've got the money to pay for it. If it isn't enough, I'll get the rest. Honest, just tell me how much this costs. All of a sudden, the pharmacist's brother, who was a very well-dressed man, stooped down, bent over toward the little girl, and said, honey, what kind of a miracle does your brother need? She said, I don't know. And then she lost it. She began to cry. She said, I just know that he's really sick. Mommy says he needs an operation. My daddy can't pay for it. So, sir, I just want to use my money and buy a miracle. How much do you have? Asked the man from Chicago. $1.11. That's all the money I have. But I can get more if I need to. Well, the man stood up, smiled. $1.11. Now that's just about the exact price of a miracle for little brothers. He took her money in one hand, and he took her other hand with his. And he took her by the hand and said, honey, take me to where you live. I want to see your brother, and I want to meet your parents. And let's see if I have the miracle that you need. This is a true story, and that well-dressed man was Dr. Carlton Armstrong, a surgeon who specialized in neurosurgery. The operation was completed completely free of charge, and it wasn't long until Andrew was home again and doing well. Mom and Dad would talk often about the chain of events that led them to that place. Mom said, that surgery was a real miracle. I wondered how much it really would have cost. And the little girl looked up at her mommy, and she said, Mom, it cost $1.11. There are a lot of people all around us, and maybe you're in this room here tonight, that need a miracle. Maybe you need some hope in your life. Maybe you simply need the hope that Jesus Christ loves you, and that he knows you, and that he's right here for you. As we celebrate Christmas Eve, we celebrate a babe in a manger, the one who grew to be the man who took your sins and mine upon himself. He has just the right amount of money, just the right amount of power, just the right amount of delivering strength to forgive, to heal, to deliver, to set free, and to give hope. Tonight, we celebrate Jesus, our Christmas hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are so good, so wonderful. And we thank you that you have hope even when we do not. We put our trust in you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Thanks for coming to earth for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We love you, Lord. Amen. We're going to have a very special time of candle lighting now with Pastor Sherry Barden. Pastor Sherry, would you come, please?
Bring your peace into our lives. Let our hungry souls be filled. We're now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Fragile fingers sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorns. Tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born. Unto us is born. So grab our injured flesh around me. Breathe our air and walk our star. Rob our sin and make us holy. Perfect Son of God. Perfect Son of God. Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our around 2,000 years ago, God set a light in the sky to announce the coming of his son, Jesus, to the earth. People from all around were drawn by the light, and many discovered of God's son. Today, even in the midst of a politically correct world, people are still drawn to the light, and many still discover the news of the reality of Jesus Christ and the love that he has to share. While there's no longer a light in the sky to show the way to Christ, the light still exists in the world today. The light is where? It's in the people of God, the Christians who are here on the earth. Jesus said that if he be lifted up, he would draw all people to himself. If we, as Christians, are going to be effective lights, we need to let God arise in our lives. We need to cooperate with him and let him have his way in us. We do. We have the tremendous opportunity and privilege to be those who carry the message of life and salvation. Let us continue to pray for one another and to encourage one another so we can see the light of Christ arise brightly in the people of God. Let God arise in his people so that the world may know he lives. In the candle lighting service tonight, we're going to see, as we have in past years, as we dim the lights, the room is dark. And there is darkness in the world today. There's spiritual darkness. And as one light, as we light our candles, remembering that the light of God lives in us, Jesus Christ, as that light, as we each get a light, all of a sudden the room will become more illuminated. By the time we all have our candles lit, the light is going to be brighter. And that's what happens in our hearts as we share Christ one with another during the day and with those people who do not have the light of Christ in them. All of a sudden, the world gets lighter and lighter and lighter, and Christ is more recognized, and he's here. Pastor Kev said in his message several times, God is here. And that's what these lights represent. The lights represent God living in us, Jesus Christ living in us. So as we sing carols, we'll come forward. If you'll come forward and take your candle, pick up your candle and put the little ring, just pick up a ring and just place it over the candle so it doesn't drip all over you, and then light the candle from the main candle, from the Jesus candle. Okay, Pastor Kev, shall we start our singing?
Oh, yes, 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 oh, yes burn, I'm burning.
Come on, row by row, come get your candle.
From the beginning.
The stars are brightly shining. That's right. Hold those candles up high.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul found his worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder brave, a new and glorious Lord. All of your needs, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night, O night stars are brightly shining. It is the night of this Savior's birth. Long may the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the Son found his worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoicing, for yonder brave, a new and glorious birth. For on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night, O night divine, O born on
of the world. As we lift up these candles, Lord, together we represent your people. Lord, tonight we determine and we commit ourselves in a fresh way to lifting up the light of Jesus Christ. Help us be your light in this dark and dreary world. Help us bring hope and life and joy to people who need you. Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together tonight. We exalt and praise your name, for you are so worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ alone, O God, is faithful, joyful and triumphant, O God, O God, to heaven. Come and behold him, born the King of nations. O God, let us adore him. O God, let us adore him. O God, let us adore him. Someone next to you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being your people tonight. We come and we adore you. Now, Lord, we send each person forward with joy and blessing, the blessing of your presence, the blessing of your hope, your light, your life. Jesus, we send each person forward with the Christmas blessing, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We love you, Jesus. Happy birthday, Lord, and Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks for coming. It's been a joy to have you here with us. We'll take time to fellowship. Thank you for Betty and Pete, and so many have done so many things for decorations. Thank you, Pastors Carl and Sherry Barton, for everything done in this place. Go ahead. And there will be, we're celebrating Christmas tonight together. So tomorrow we encourage you to enjoy Christmas with your families, because we'll be back here Sunday morning the 1st. And if you're not otherwise committed on Sunday mornings, we invite you to come worship the Lord with us at 10 o'clock. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.